Good evening and welcome to the Football Out West Show. It's season 4, episode 89. And gents, we are now starting the second half of our show, tonight's show, The Press Box. And Steve, our first guest is already waiting. Let's bring him on, hey.
Yeah, it's time to welcome our first guest for The Press Box tonight. He's in the green room and he's just recovering from a big semi-final second leg last night. And he's into grand final week now. And it's a very good evening to West United midfielder Neil Kilkenny. Welcome to the show, Neil. Thanks very much for joining us. And how are you feeling after that big 90 minutes last night?
Yeah, obviously just trying to recover from the game, but emotions were all over the place. So it was a really good game, a really good spectacle for everyone to watch the game. And it was fantastic to play in too. So we're looking forward to Saturday night now.
Absolutely. And how have you? Go on, Steve. Crack on, mate. Carry on.
No, you jump in, mate.
Go on, off you go.
I was going to ask Neil, what's it been like in your midfield combination so far? You've got so used to playing next to Steve Lustica. Jerry Skatidas hasn't played a lot of football this season, but he's come in and you guys have worked together really well in the heart of midfield. Has that been an easy transition to playing next to Jerry as opposed to Steve?
Yeah, Jerry's done a good job since he's come into the team. You know, breaks up the play well, and a young player willing to learn. So he's done a fantastic job, and you know, whoever gets picked on Saturday, I'm sure it will be a fantastic game for them to play in. And we're really looking forward to the game on Saturday.
Now, great. Neil, obviously you've been in the country for a few years now, a number of years at Melbourne City, and then over to Perth. And what excited you, obviously, about the move to Western United? Because obviously, it's not one of the big clubs. It's a brand new club. But what excited you about Western United, and how have you found your first real season with everything that's gone on over the past 2 years? How have you found yourself fitting into the club?
It's fantastic. The club are willing to invest. The people involved with the club are looking to invest and invest in the game and in the club, and they want to go and win and achieve things, and that's shown over the years, the players that they brought to the club. And obviously when I heard the interest, I was interested. With I knew obviously Don Aloisi, and then I knew his assistant very well, Hayden Fox, who was at Perth with me, and we had great success there. So obviously when I spoke to them, they explained that, you know, that the way that they were going to do it, and I wanted to be part of it. You know, I went to Melbourne City and helped them win their first piece of silverware with the FFA Cup when I was there, and then obviously I've gone to Perth and helped them win their first A-League title as well. So hopefully, you know...
Treble.
The grand final is the one that I haven't won yet, and that's the one I want now. And then I can say I've got the full set.
Fantastic.
Now, Neil, you did mention about, you know, some of the experiences that you've had, and I guess that's going to come really, like, in good stead for Saturday, because at the moment, like, It's the first time. I mean, we said right at the top of the show, after just 3 years in existence, it's a first time that Western United are in the grand final. But on the flip side, it's Melbourne City's third consecutive grand final, so they're very used to this big dance, as we call it. But you've got a lot of experienced players there, and how important is that experience going to be, particularly with some of the younger players? Were they starting to feel a little bit like, you know, nervous or at any stage during the semi-finals against Victory? And did you guys have to sort of come in and just sort of put a hand around them, figuratively speaking?
I think there's always a first time for everything for players, you know. I think they showed fantastic commitment, fantastic, you know, they dealt with the situation very well, the players that hadn't been in the situation, you know. And you look at Melbourne Victory's team, and they had a lot of players that had been there and done it, and we had a few players that haven't, and they stepped up to the plate. So, you know, and the older players like myself, we always try and help the younger players at throughout the season, and obviously in moments. We've been there, done that, and hopefully we can navigate our way through the final and win it.
Does it help having those younger players? Sorry, Steve. Does it help having those younger players who haven't experienced that? Of, you know, Tonchi spoke about nerves and things like that. Then, but in that sort of occasion, Neil, you know, you've been through it yourself over the years. Do the young players have those feelings of worry and dread, or do they just go out and take it all in their stride?
Well, I think they just try and take it in their stride. You know, obviously there's going to be nerves. There's going to be, but you know, I've played with a lot of players that, you know, in football, but they can't handle pressure. And we showed on over the last two games that, you know, the players stepped up to the plate when we needed them. And I thought we were fantastic yesterday. Even in the first leg, it was a player to play in the first leg. It was like a bit of a chess match. And then obviously in the second game, it was, you know, it opened up a bit, and they were both fantastic games to play in. But for the spectacle, the game last night was a brilliant watch. There was everything in there, you know, goals, penalty claims, VAR decisions, blood and guts going. So, yeah, it was fantastic to play in, and hopefully it can be a similar spectacle on Saturday, and hopefully the outcome can be come our way.
Now, you've probably had the wood over Melbourne City, it's fair to say, in recent times, despite them being a strong team in the A-League the last couple of years. Do you put that down to perhaps you've got such a good organised defence with Leo back there in front of Jamie Young? And what's it like playing in front of those guys?
Yeah, they're good players, you know. Obviously, they're experienced players. Leo's a good player. Obviously, Tamaki's done well. Rizzo and Benny. And then obviously, we've got a good structure. Whoever comes in knows their jobs. The manager, when he come in, he's made sure that everyone knows their jobs from when he's walked through the door. So whoever plays comes in and they step in. For example, Jerry hasn't really played that much this season, and he's stepped in straight away, and he knows his roles and responsibilities. And so that's part and parcel of, that's why we've been right at the top of the ladder throughout the season. And you know, it's going to be a fantastic battle on Saturday.
John Aloisi, he's come out in the press, I think, saying that after 2018, he didn't think that he was going to get an opportunity. So when Western United came knocking on his door last year, it was just one of those opportunities not to give up. How much of a factor has John Aloisi been in the transformation of Western United into a real title chasing side this year? I mean, obviously the gaff is the big one there, but you know, he's an inspirational player to all generations of Australian football. But just how much of a difference has John made?
I think, you know, he's made a massive difference as well. The club need, you know, a massive massive praise as well. You know, the ownership, the CEO, the football director, or from the top down, they're willing to invest. You know, they've brought in good people, good football people that know the game. Winners, that's another thing that you need, you know, people that don't accept second best and don't accept mediocrity every day. If you want to be at the top of the ladder, you have to train properly every day. And that's what he's brought in. And then he appoints his staff who, you know, have been fantastic as well, and they help him, and that's the sign of a good manager, you know, bringing in the people that help him along the way and bringing in the right changing room as well. So everything combined, but he has to take a lot of praise. But I think obviously the people above as well, I've walked into the club and I've been incredibly impressed with the structure of the club throughout, all the people from there. Everyone wants to win, but they're willing to win. They've come in and they're willing to invest. They're willing to, you know, go that extra little bit, the little details that are needed to win things and get over the line. You have to do them. You know, if you cut corners, you're not going to be there. And that's what the club as a whole have done. And the manager is definitely part of that, with obviously all these coaching staff and the players in the changing room.
Neil, what's the week ahead looking like for you? Do you know what the schedule's going to be? I assume there might be extra media commitments aside from this special appearance on the Football Out West show, but do you know what you've got planned? Because you've come through a tricky, three matches in 8 days, three sort of crucial cutthroat matches in 8 days, and now you've got an extra day's rest more than Melbourne City have. Do you know what's ahead for the week?
Well, we know what, obviously, we know the... you know, our structure, we've been doing it all season, you know, a certain amount of, turnaround games, with four or seven. So we know, quite a bit. Obviously, there's little things in there that may change, but we're ready to go, and we'll be training hard this week, putting in the preparation, because we know we'll be up against a good Melbourne City team, and we're really looking forward to it.
Now, one question from me that's come from one of our listeners, Michael Long, who you will know from around the traps there at Western United.
Yeah, everyone knows Michael.
Everybody knows Michael Long. Why number 88?
To be honest, I wish I took 88 my whole career, if I'm honest. it's a bit different. But when I signed at Perth Glory, number 8 was taken, and they asked me what number I wanted to be, and I just went, 88, I'll be 88 then. And it's basically stuck. And like I said, I wish I sort of done that, you know, throughout my career. So yeah. I could try and make a bit of a trademark. So that's why I picked number 88, and I'm enjoying it. And and hopefully, it will work out positive for me.
Good luck, Charm. Now, you mentioned Perth Glory. You've also had a stint at Melbourne City back in 2018. And you touched on Western United. Now, I guess you better watch what you say, because we've got the big boss coming on straight after this, Chris Palavanis. But what makes Western United such a unique club? What's different about Western United that probably, you know, sticks out for you? Because you've been at some unbelievable clubs throughout your career: Birmingham City, Oldham Athletic, Leeds United, Bristol City, Preston North End. List goes on and on. What really makes Western United unique?
I just think, you know, the people involved from right to the top, the investors, obviously the CEO, the football director, the manager, they treat you as a person. You know, they look out. Obviously, I've been through an incredibly tough season off the pitch, with the border closures from Perth, with my family here in Perth, to my father-in-law passing away halfway through the season at a crucial point of the season when we were playing Melbourne City FC. And the club had no hesitation to, you know, take your time. You know, we understand you, your partner is going through a difficult stage. And, so... they've been incredible in that sense. You know, I've seen my family 3 weeks of 10 months. So, and 2.5 weeks of them was when my father-in-law passed away, and I was in the for him to go to the funeral. So, I'll be always grateful for the way that they've treated me in that period. And so, like I said, they treat you as a family, They treat people as a human being first, instead of a footballer, which is incredible, really.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget, don't we, as football fans, what you guys actually have to go through. It's work. It's the most fantastic job in the world to be able to go to training every day, put a pair of shorts on, and kick a football about. But you know, over the last year, it's been a very, very tough time for a lot of clubs. And you personally. So to see you've come through this, I suppose this weekend will be the icing on the cake for you, I think, Neil. And as you said, you've never had the grand final. So, from all of us, I think we wish you all the very best on Saturday. I'm sure you'll lift it. We all hope that you certainly do. And it'll be fantastic for the Western suburbs if Western United can lift that crown.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, hopefully we can do it. Like I said, the club is so young, it's 3 years old. So, you know, they're going to be behind everyone at the minute. but they're growing. Mm. They're willing to grow. They want to invest into the club. They want to invest into the community. They want their own training ground, their own stadium. That's fantastic for Australian football. I think as a fan base in Australia, I think people should really look into that. Think, wow, these guys want to go places and they want to invest in the future of Australian football to grow the game. And as even as a player, I look at that and I admire fantastic.
And I've actually asked for one more question, but I'm actually going to ask two, Tonch, if that's okay.
Oh, I guess you're alive.
Obviously, you've been here for a while now, a number of years. How do you find the football standard here compared to, obviously, the UK? Everybody says, you know, when we compare stuff, we always try and compare Australia. I'm 10 years into my tenure here now, and, you know, all I've ever heard is UK, Spain, Holland. We're not. We're a totally different country, million miles from anywhere. How do you find the football here compared to what you've had in the UK over the years?
Well, I've been away from the UK for 6 years now. This is my sixth season, and what I found when I first walked through the structure, the way that the game's played, a lot more on the floor. It may have changed over the last 5-6 years. I think it has changed in the UK in the sense of Guardiola coming into the game and a more technical and tactical game. So when I walked through when I come back to Australia, I found that the game suited myself more because the game was played on the floor a lot more, where in the UK is, you know, second ball, channel ball, win your second balls first, instead of actually passing the ball and keeping the ball first. So I've really found it. Don't get me wrong. I still think there's still things that they need to improve here. I think they need to improve the competitiveness of, obviously, with I believe that you need a relegation and promotion. I think that will bring.
Yeah.
I think that will bring a character, more ruthless edge to the game. Demand for results. So you see a lot of teams in the A-League that after 10 games, if they know that they're at the bottom of the league, we'll just chuck the youngsters in. And then all of a sudden you have an experience where a team just, you know you're playing them, they've got youngsters and it's near enough, you know who's going to win. If there's a relegation in there or some sort of threat of losing your status in the league, they can't do that. They have to invest, i.e. bring in a new manager, bring in new players, and then, you know, you see the teams that get promoted in England. I'm just giving an example of England because you see managers get promoted from the Championship to the Premier League. They go back to the Championship and they go, I want that guy because I've seen loads of videos and I've played against him. I know how good he is. And they go with what they know. So you see that. So, for instance, an NPL team got promoted from the NPL. A manager will go back because they know what they've played against and they go, I've seen him every week. I've seen videos of this guy and I know that we need to give him an opportunity. And you get more players like a Jamie Vardy, but we have them in England because there's a lot of good players in the NPL. You know, and I think that what players in the NPL would take more of an interest if they can get an opportunity in the A-League, if they can get promoted. So that obviously creates more of an interest. So that's what I feel that there needs to be done in the game. And I could talk football all day. I'm so passionate about the game.
We're going to have to get you back on because you know what? A lot of people have talked about it. Yeah. I was going to say, a lot of people have talked about the merits of the second division, but no one has actually illustrated it so perfectly and eloquently the way you have just then, and why players in the NPL would be, I think, have that desire, have that incentive, and for that very reason, which you were just explained perfectly. So, mate, we're going to have to get you back on in the off-season.
But he's absolutely right. If you've got NPL players getting an opportunity in A-League, we've talked about crowds and things like that. That's going to help the crowds because your local spectators will want to go and watch those young players getting an opportunity at the highest level. And now we're going to go off on a tangent now, Neil, so we best stop as we really are.
We could find our Australian Jamie Vardy. How fantastic would that be?
Absolutely. Now, I got one more question for you. Tonight, it's the big, the big final game in the UK. I'm going to ask you two questions from it. Manchester City or Liverpool?
listen, they're both fantastic teams, but I want Manchester City to win, because when Pep Guardiola walked through the door at Manchester City, people turned around to him and said that you can't play that way in England. And now he's proved you can play in England. And there was this, I've played in the lower leagues and I played against Swansea when they were, you know, coming up through, and they played unbelievable football and they got promoted. They kept getting promoted, and no one, and I always used to say, you can play that way, but you need the right players. So I want Man City to win, but they're both fantastic clubs. Unbelievable the way that they play.
And the final one, and you know where I'm going, and you know where I'm going with this. Will your old clubs, 122 appearances for Leeds United, will they stay up tonight?
I hope so. What a club. It was a pleasure to play for them, you know. Hopefully one day I will be able to go back there in another capacity, whether it's coaching or management. I've got a massive ambition to do that, and I'm aiming to be right at the top. So I hope so, because that club deserves to be in the Premier League with that fan base.
It's a huge club, isn't it? For those that are not familiar, and I'm sure you are, it's a huge football club. Huge football club.
Unbelievable. Honestly, when I walked through the doors there, I honestly didn't realise what a club it is, and the amount of pleasure and, you know, I just feel so privileged to be able to play for that club. It was fantastic. It's a fantastic football club.
Well, that was the past, and the future is next Saturday, and we wish you all the very best for that. Big game against Melbourne City, the grand final. That's at 7:45 p.m. Neil, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of tonight's show. We really, really appreciate that. And as we said, we're going to have to get you back on sometime in the off-season to really further elaborate on some of your opinions, which are absolutely brilliant. So, wishing you all the best, mate, for the week ahead and indeed on Saturday night.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been any time. I'm always here.
Thanks, Neil.
Good luck, mate. Good luck.
Neil Kilkenny. Wow, wasn't that a great little bit of a... We're going to talk about the A-League. We're going to talk about the Melbourne Derby or the Melbourne Grand Final, and he's come up with some perler comments there. Absolutely fantastic.
Just on that, Tonch, you know, touched on there about, you know, how fortunate footballers are to play the sport that they love. But, you know, when you hear him and you can hear him getting upset there about some of the things that's happened this year that we take for granted, don't we, sometimes, that, you know, they are human beings, they are doing a job, they're there to sort of to help us enjoy life a little bit better. But sometimes we forget what players actually go through.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, our major season sponsor for 2022 is the wonderful Caroline Springs George Cross Football Club, home of the Georgies on Vista. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break. And if you are looking for a place to book your next function, consider the Georgies on Vista. It is a wonderful venue. When we return...
Get on the Nasi Goreng, Tonch. It's the best Nasi Goreng outside of Indonesia, I'm telling you.
That right.
Well, the lasagna is quite good too, but it's very hot, so don't eat it too quickly, but it's very good.
We'll be back.
Looking for a space for your next function? At Georgies on Vista, our function room caters for all types of functions. Milestone birthdays, special religious occasions, work functions, hens or bachelor nights, baby showers, or whatever reason you decide is a good idea to get together with family and friends. Contact our friendly staff who will help you put together a menu that will suit your special occasion. Inquiries can be made via our website, georgiesonvista.com.au. Georgies on Vista, in the heart of Fraser Rise. You'll find us at Caroline Springs George Cross.
Welcome back to the Football Out West show. It's season 4, episode 89. And Craig, it's time for our final guest for tonight, someone who's very well known to this program.
Yes, indeed. He's always willing to come on and have a chat about us, and there's no better time with everything that's gone on in the past couple of years for the football club. We welcome Chris Pelavanis to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen, and the listeners as well.
Good evening, Chris.
Firstly, good evening, Chris.
Firstly, Chris, congratulations. 3 years in, 3 years young, and the club has reached its first grand final. We've seen all sorts of jubilant scenes from singing in the dressing room, and there's it just is such a great vibe now at Western United. Mate, your first thoughts after qualifying for the 2022 grand final?
Still can't believe it.
But, you remember it?
Still can't
what
believe
time
it.
Did you get in this afternoon?
No, I've actually. George Cross just watched our MPL boys. So,
I thought you were, yeah.
It doesn't finish, you know. We work hard and we've got to enjoy the moment. So, yeah, we did enjoy it a bit last night, but it's all systems go for next week, which will be one of our. One of our, you know, most important games of our history, if not the most important. But I heard Neil's interview, and firstly, what a great human and what a privilege we are as our club. You know, we embarked on a journey at the start of this season to identify, you know, a new coach and a new direction for the club. And we did that. We did a lot of hard work in the off season, and, you know, I'll say it, and I haven't probably said it out aloud a lot yet, because we wanted to stay focused on what it is, and it's the big prize at the end. But we brought John Aloisi to the club, you know, one of the best people in football you'll ever come across. And I'm lucky to be the CEO of a club that has people like John, people like Neil, and all our professional players, because not only are we learning how to be a good football club, we're learning how to be a good club, good humans, and there's a reason why we're in that grand final is because these people are working tirelessly for us. We keep asking them to go harder. We keep asking them to go further, and they just soak it all up. You know, we're a club that's played in more venues than any other club in the A-League's history, and they keep rocking up, and we're in a grand final. So, you know, I'm very proud, to be honest.
And what does it say about the calibre of the staff and the players that have been assembled at the club when everyone's been writing off the club? It's been written off probably twice this season. First of all, people saying the club won't make finals. And then secondly, saying, you know, victory was a shoo-in to win that two-legged playoff. That hasn't happened, though. It's gone the other way. Like, what does that say about the calibre of these people as individuals and a United team?
Yeah, I mean, we've been written off by a lot of people and in all our club's history. What it says about the people at our club is that they're resilient, they live the values of the club, and they leave nothing to chance. And when you have that mix, you know, irrespective of the results, I know that when we go out on that park that everyone's going to put their best foot forward. We may not have won yesterday, but we put in a performance that justified our position and our ability to be on that stage. And so, you know, I'm just grateful on the journey we're on. And, you know, I've got a group that I keep asking to go harder in terms of all my staff and, you know, everyone at the club, and, you know, and they just do it. And so, you know, bring on the grand final. And what I do know is, irrespective of the result, we're going to rock up and put a show on.
Yeah. And quite right Chris, you know, it annoys me when, you know, I won't say what clubs they are or supporters they are, but they have a pop at West United. I think I've seen a tweet today saying it's going to be the lowest grand final attendance in history. So be it. You know, when the league started back 12 years ago, whatever it was, Melbourne Victory were the only team in Victoria. So surely they're going to get the most supporters, and it takes time, and that's that supporter base will grow the more successful the football club is. You've had an unenviable season. You said, I'm not sure how many clubs you've been to, but, you know, most of your games have been away. So you're on planes and in hotels. Amount of the photos I see on your Facebook page from a hotel in New South Wales. It must be really hard for everybody involved in the club to be able to do that. But, you know, the crowds are growing. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle on the weekend, and it's certainly, you know, proof that the hard work has been put in, and this will be a great great end to the season, won't it, with all the difficulties that you guys have had?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I'll touch on the crowds, though. Like, I hear these people that say, you know, the crowds are going to be low and all this. And they don't like football then. Irrespective if you like Western United
or if you
like Sunshine George Cross or if you like Melbourne Eyes or if you like Heidelberg or South Melbourne. Or we have two Melbourne teams at the pinnacle of this sport in our country playing off in a grand final. You should just rock up. You know why? To support our code. Because without a successful A-League and without a successful crowd on the weekend, what are we doing, guys? We're going to shoot our own code. So for me, the people, you know, whoever's listening to this podcast, if you love football, rock up. And if you love football and there's people out there, tell them they're wrong. Convince them to come out and support our game. Because without the support of our game, we'll always stay low. And we'll always make it difficult for our kids and future generations to love the sport we love. So come out there, support the code, and let's show our power of the game. Forget Western United. Forget what club we are. Come out and support the game. That's what I'm asking people to do this week. And, you know, that's why, you know, when you hear people like Neil speak, you know, I'm just so grateful to listen to these people because, you know, we don't talk about, you know, what's good for Western United. We talk about what's good for the game. And I heard him speak about the second division and all these sort of things. We love football. And the quicker people realise that, the better we're going to be. So I think everyone that's involved in this football that we love, let's start supporting each other and let's not have pot shots and try and bring clubs down that are trying to do things that are ambitious and that are great for the game.
Speaking of trying to do things, what's good for the game, you really have had a difficult time with various obstacles. And we had a really good interview with Ante Milicic on our sister podcast show, Ozcrow Soccer Show, last week, and he talked about MacArthur FC starting from scratch and some of the difficulties coming up against in the Sydney market with established clubs like Sydney FC and Western Sydney Wanderers. Obviously, the stadium is a big one. But, you know, having reached the grand final now after 3 years, do you think that this may kick start the momentum both with the various councils, the politicians, maybe the members, maybe there'll be a membership boost? Because obviously once Saturday comes and goes and the commiserations or the celebrations go, you'll still be rocking up next Monday week to work and it'll be all systems go. How can Western United capitalise on this great success?
I think it's a long play, yeah. There's no automatic free kick. What we're trying to do, and we're ambitious, is we're trying to build a stadium. We're trying to build a training facility for the people of the West. That's going to happen. It takes time. This success obviously is going to help. But what we need is making sure that football is unified. So I think you touched on it before, the politicians, the councils, the governments. If we're not unified and we're not going to get people to attend all levels of football, how are we meant to get governments behind us? So I think, you know, we're pushing hard. And you know, results are one thing, and we can't control, you know, what's going to happen on and off the field, But what we're going to do is always and be ambitious, always be a club that strives to be successful in A-League men's and A-League women's. However, what we want to do is make sure we build something that is sustainable. For me, sustainable success is the most important thing we do at this club. So we want to build our stadium. We want to build our training facility and make it an elite facility for future generations. And that's something that every football fan should be proud of and every football fan should be behind us, because if we do that, that's going to be the catalyst for everyone to follow so we can have the appropriate infrastructure in this game to support our great game, which we don't have. We have one stadium in this state at the moment that is sufficient for A-League football.
Yeah.
We're the highest participated sport in this country and we have one stadium. It's not acceptable. So that's our legacy. That's our vision. I think, as you said, Tonje, this week will help in all those metrics, but the number one thing we need to do is grow all our areas of our business. So we're going to work hard. And it doesn't stop at this Saturday, win, lose or draw. It continues and it's continued for many years to come.
Well, we had Anthony Frost a few weeks back, didn't we, Steve? And he spoke about the academy. So that's really exciting regard. Yeah. We talked about the call.
A-League women's next season. Very exciting.
As well. So there's so many aspects of the club. Is it getting harder and harder to manage as the club's growing so much more? I think you've gone a little bit grayer since we last had you on the show.
A little bit. Yeah, probably, I've probably had a better season both and off the field, but I think the haircut is great. No, is it harder? No, it's more enjoyable. It's more rewarding because when I saw those girls smile when we got an A-League women's team and when I announced it to that group, that's the legacy stuff we're going to leave. We're creating another elite women's football team in this country, in this state and country for young girls to aspire to. If that's what we're doing, how can everyone not be proud of that?
Yeah.
Then we're creating another academy for elite kids. And I'm going to say it, for elite kids in the West to play football and have a pathway to live their dreams, to play for Western United, and then ultimately go overseas. You know, everyone says, oh, that's, the A-League's not as good as overseas. Okay.
We know that.
We step in stone for our kids to go overseas, and we should celebrate every kid we get overseas and work hard to do that. And we have to own our space, and our space is to get kids overseas, to get kids to fulfill their dreams. And their dreams may be to play in the A-League. Well, let's do that. And we're only going to do that if we have strong, viable clubs who have pathways both on the boys and women's side. And you know what? Western United's going to have that very soon. And I'm so proud of that.
Absolutely. What has the club got an opinion on the A-League's finals format they've used this year? It's been a thrilling, as a spectator, it's felt like a thrilling final series. Has it been tough with that two-legged playoff in the space of a week after that elimination final, or does the club think it's a good format?
Look, I like the format. I think it's tough because of the condensed season, because of COVID, yeah? But you know what? The top two teams got the benefit of finishing top two, so there's a little bit of an advantage. I like the home play. I think it then ensures the best team gets to the final rather than a one-off game where one thing...
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So over two legs, I feel like the best team will get through. And if I look at on balance, our game against Victory, I thought we were the best team over the two legs. Maybe I'm biased, but I think we were. And I think City probably were the better team against Adelaide over the two legs. So, you know, and I also think that both those teams, us and City, have been the best two teams all season.
So,
I'm going to say a grand final, you know, of the two best teams in the country. And I will say this, we're lucky in Victoria. We're the best three teams this season.
Yep.
Or from Melbourne. So we've got to celebrate that. And this is an occasion where we should celebrate this football. So I'm shouting out to Football Victoria. I'm shouting out to all the clubs. I'm shouting out to everyone that plays football socially to really embrace this week and really support these two clubs and come and celebrate and be proud of what both clubs have achieved.
Now Tonchi asked a question earlier on to Goran Lozanowski, who was one of our guests in the first part of the show there, about the games this weekend for NPL, State League Football. Have you heard anything from Football Victoria on that, Chris, whether the games are going to be rescheduled to allow spectators to be able to come to the game? Because if you look at the NPL, there's three games in the evening there on Saturday.
Yeah.
There's all the other games that go on in the afternoon. It would be criminal if there wasn't something done to allow, as you said, football fans to go and watch this grand final.
Yeah, look, I've got a personal view on that. Growing up, I recall that we always used to have the grand final weekend off, irrespective of where the game was played, unless I've got that wrong. But I remember as a youngster, whenever the NSL was on, we would cancel that round, would be free junior and senior football. So that's my personal view. Now, is Football Victoria going to do that? I mean, I'll reach out to them. I'm sure the leagues will reach out to them. And if you ask me, I think we should. And it's not about, it's about creating that unity and saying, guys, let's celebrate football this week. Either try and work around it and move games from, you know, Saturday to Friday or to Sunday and make it work, or give everyone an opportunity to, you know, postpone and, you know, do it at a later stage. But give the kids, give the fans of that play football an opportunity to come and support and see, you know, what the A-League's about. And you're going to see the best two teams on show. So if anyone's listening and anyone can has got the power to change these things, I think we do it for the good of the game. And if we have that mentality, I think only football's going to benefit.
Yeah. Thanks to Brenton Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to Brenton Ray, who if you guys don't want to tune in and watch Steve Tonchi or Craig I tell you what, just tune in for Brenton's comments. They're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant.
They're better than our content.
And he says, listen to this. It's the first time since 1998 that it's been an all Melbourne grand final. And what a travesty that would be if the powers that be didn't at least move the NPL, NPL 2, NPL 3, any games like that to an earlier time slot.
That's coming from a Melbourne victory fanatic.
And that's coming from a Melbourne victory fanatic, correct. Yep, yeah, correct.
Which says a lot, you know. If he is a Melbourne victory fanatic, I applaud him and I agree with him. And you know why? He's got the benefit of football at heart, and that's what we all should be doing. The people that love football always put football first and then you put your club second, which is the best way to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Chris, just one really quick question to finish off, and a very serious one. If the club, the team is maybe a couple of goals up in the 92nd minute, could you tell Johnny to maybe stick Dia on just for the end of the game, perhaps to wrap up the proceedings maybe?
Yeah, that would be great. Look, one area that I stay in my lane, I don't influence Johnny's decisions, but, you know, I get the sentiment. You know, Alessandro has been... what can I say about the man? You know, he's come to our country, embraced our culture, embraced our values, taught us a lot of things at Western United, been a great captain, been a great person, and, you know, football's, you know, has its highs and lows and is terrible sometimes, yeah? You get into a grand final and, you know, there's going to be a few boys missing out, and, you know, I think Neil said it, we're a people-first club. So, you know, we get around all the boys and all our families, and, you know, for me, that's the heart, and you know, we've got a lot of heart at our club, and it's challenging. But Alessandro is a true leader, and he'll be there with the boys to the 93rd minute, even if he's not on the pitch. He's a true champion.
Good on you, Chris. On that note, we're going to wish you all the very best, and thank you once again for coming on the show. You are always welcome, and you certainly, at a drop of a hat, always agree to come on. So we thank you so much for that. It's going to be a big week for yourself, for Melbourne, for Western United, and for Melbourne football in general, for all football fans, as you said. So we certainly are going to revel in every single moment, and we hope you certainly do.
Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks for the support, and I love what you guys are doing.
Thanks, Chris. Good on you, Chris. Look forward to a great result on Saturday evening, mate. We'll all be there, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Thanks.
Chris Palavanis, the CEO of Western United. Gents, we're going to take a very, very, very quick commercial break. When we return, we'll wrap up tonight's show, and what a big show it's been. Don't go away, folks.
George's on Vista is in the heart of Fraser Rise. You'll find us at Caroline Springs George Cross. Looking for a bit of fun with your meals? Tuesday night is bingo night. Bingo books are $2, eyes down at 7. And we have a special bingo menu for you to choose from, so be sure to get in early and grab a bite to eat beforehand. Friday night is poker night. Registration is from 6:30 p.m. with poker starting at 7:30 p.m. Why not join us beforehand for happy hour? Kicks off at 5:30. We're also on Uber Eats, so you can enjoy your favourite Georgie's meals in the comfort of your own home. Find us on the app. Dining in? Be sure to book your table to avoid disappointment. Bookings can be made via our website, georgiesonvista.com.au.
Welcome back to the Football Out West show. Just very, very quickly, gents, a big night of EPL, of a final day fixtures. 1 a.m. our time, the big games that obviously everyone will be watching, Liverpool versus Wolves and Man City versus Aston Villa for the top of the table clash. But then also down the bottom, Burnley versus Newcastle and Brentford versus Leeds. That's going to be a huge one. The grand final next week, Saturday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Members pre-sale opens tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. and then tickets on sale to the general public from 5 p.m. So it is going to be a huge week. And, gents, let's strap ourselves. Big game on Tuesday night as well, the catch-up game for the NPL, Oakley taking on the Melbourne Knights, and then a huge, huge weekend of football next weekend.
Absolutely, Tonchi, and well done to our Matildas player, Ali Carpenter, who won the Women's Champions League in Europe last night. against Barcelona for her team, Olympic Lyonnais, but unfortunately suffered a knee injury, and we hope and pray that it's not a serious, not an ACL injury that could affect the preparations for next year's World Cup or even rule her out of it, which would be an absolute travesty. And Socceroo Bailey Wright as well, with Sunderland, who were famous in that documentary you all watched during lockdown, getting the promotion final win last night as well, which is great to see.
Finally, and that's a club. You talk about huge football clubs in Leeds United. That is a huge club, Sunderland, and great to see them back in the Championship next season. And finally, Tonch, Australia Cup National Round 32 is being drawn on Wednesday. But for the Victorian ones, round 7 cup draw tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m.
There's so much going on.
Some big games in there, some State League One clubs. I think there's three State League One clubs and the rest are NPL. So they'll all be looking forward to that tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Looking for some giant killers. Yep. Thank you, folks, for joining us this evening. It's been a massive show. Steve and I will be back tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for the Geelong Region Soccer Show. Josip and I will be back this week on Tuesday, the new time slot just for this week, with the Auscrow Soccer Show. So lots of football action coming your way. Thank you for being a part of it. Good night, and we'll see you again next Sunday for the big grand final show of the Football Hour Show. Good night.
Good night.